bitches.
We the best music.
Another one.
Yeah.
DJ Khaled.
Bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yeah. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs, ah, nah, nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor. Bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter, yeah. Cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs, ah, nah, nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to episode 52 of The Locker Room, brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. So go to manscaped.com and use our code LOCKA for 20% off with free shipping. At manscaped.com, use our code LOCKA. Get 20% off of your order plus free shipping. I've got to say, I've had the Lawnmower 3.0 for about 4 weeks now. I use it every week for my balls, and I have a great time shaving. I'm not going to lie. 4 for 4, haven't cut my nutsack once. I promise you, your family members will love it. Your balls will thank you. Before we get into anything else, and I'm saying this with no exaggeration, I think I'd rather watch my dad use the Lawnmower 3.0 every day for the rest of my life and shave his balls than watch Nate Sudfeld play another 4 downs of football. I mean, Cappy, I know you're a Giants fan. Maxie, I don't know what side you're on here, but what happened Sunday night I thought was fucking atrocious. I mean, also because I bet the Eagles money line, although I also did have them 6.5, which covered, thank God. I'm gonna send it over to you guys. You guys can talk about your take on that, because I know it's been a big argument throughout the week.
So you'd rather watch your dad shave his balls than watch Nate Sudfeld throw the football?
Yeah, no, I seriously would. I seriously would, I think.
Wow.
I was ripping my hair out.
Fuck the Eagles. Fuck Nate Sudfeld. Fuck the whole coaching staff. Fuck everybody on the Eagles except for Jalen Hurts and Zach Ertz, because I love those two guys. Miles Sanders is a good guy too. I like him as well. But besides those three guys, fuck that whole team, dude. That was just from day one. For the listeners who didn't see the game and watched the Eagles tank so the Giants couldn't make the playoffs, basically that's what happened. They sat Jalen Hurts and played a guy who can't even throw the fucking football. I was absolutely shocked. My family was shocked. My boy Chris, who's a bigger Giants fan than I am, completely and utterly shocked. So yeah, I'm still pretty speechless about it. I know you guys saw what the coaching staff, the coach for the Giants, said about the whole thing, which I completely agree with, and it was pretty pathetic.
Max, what's your take here? Because you don't really have any bias towards this.
I mean, it was a blatant tank. If I were a Giant fan, I'd be livid, but I wouldn't be livid in the sense of, oh, we didn't make the playoffs because of that. Granted, you guys went 6-10. Like,
damn right.
I don't think you deserve to make the playoffs, but the fact that in the fourth quarter, 3-point game, them pulling Jalen Hurts to see what they get from Sudfeld. I mean, that's kind of bogus. It's pretty blatant.
Do you think that's what they were doing? Was they were trying to see like what Nate Sudfeld was about, or that was just the excuse? Because like, it's like, okay, come, like, you got Jalen Hurts. Why do you need to see like how good your backup's going to be for Jalen Hurts?
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if they wanted to see Sudfeld the whole time, why not start him if the game meant nothing?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that too. Yeah, from that
sense. The thing that makes no sense is you want to see what you got from someone. Wouldn't you rather see your rookie quarterback that you're trying to roll with the following year, get him more reps, see what he's made of, maybe roll into the next season knowing you knocked out a division rival in a winning get in game. I mean,
100%. Even from when they were trailing too, it's like, okay, let's see what Jalen Hurts could do in a 2-minute drill. Let's see what Jalen Hurts could do trailing in the game. Like, let's see, put him in positions like where, you know. But
and from a franchise standpoint, they blocked the Giants from getting in the playoffs, and they got a better draft pick. So I'm pretty sure come draft day, we will all forget about this. So,
dude, but it's also unfair to Sudfeld. I mean, this guy probably worked his ass off all season long to get a fucking rep, and he's thrown in the fourth quarter, not even at the start of the fourth quarter. I guess, no, it was the start of the fourth quarter, but he's thrown in the fourth quarter, and they're just like putting all the pressure on him, knowing that everyone's watching this game nationally televised. I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on this kid to go out and perform, and he hasn't even thrown a fucking pass the whole season. So you're setting him up for failure.
Hey, man, in the NFL, you take any opportunity you can get.
He's not getting any other one, though. That's it. He's not getting any other opportunity.
I don't know. I don't know.
No chance. No chance. I don't see it happening.
I'll make a $5 bet with you on that. I guarantee you, $5. Nate Sudfeld backs someone up and gets on the field at some point.
Bet you $5 he won't. Deal. Right. I'll remember that.
Let me hit you guys with this real quick. I'm like a little rapid fire. NFL playoff matchup this weekend. I don't even know who you got. I know who Maxie's got in one game because he's been slamming us on in the locker room group chat. You guys down?
Yeah.
We'll start with Laz and go Maxie. Bills, Colts.
Bills. Colts.
Really?
I like it.
I got the Colts as well, Maxie. I have a bracket going. I'm sure you got a bracket and some shit going on too. I got some with my boys, but here's the one, baby. Steelers, Browns.
Steelers.
Browns.
Steelers by a mile.
Well, depending on what happens with the COVID stuff. Yeah, what's going on with the COVID
stuff? Coach is out. I slammed the Steelers money line the second that news came out with the coach, because the coach is in close contact with every single player. So I'm assuming that there are going to be some players that go out. I got at -215, so I'll take that.
Yeah, I like it, Maxie. I like it. Titans, Ravens. I got the Titans.
Ravens.
Ravens. For sure.
You fuckers.
Thanks to Settlement for that one, honestly. Settlement puts a lot of faith in the Ravens for me.
Does he? I don't think the Ravens run game's that good. Run defense, sorry, Max. Yeah, yes, I know the run game's unbelievable.
Shout out J.K. Dobbins and Hiller for that one.
Yeah, seriously, though. But no, I don't think the run defense is that good. I think Derrick Henry's going to stomp on him. Let's look at the NFC, though. Saints, Bears?
Saints. I think that's the easiest one.
Yeah, I'm going to go Saints as well. Hey, the Bears have been playing well, dude. You really,
to be honest, the Saints also choke.
That's closer than you think, honestly. Seahawks, Rams. I'm going the Hawks.
Same. Hawks.
Rams.
Oh.
Going Rams.
Washington, Bucks. Bucks. I got the Bucks in the Super Bowl.
Dude, I kind of want to take Washington.
I'm going to roll with the hot team, the Bucks. But to be honest, even if Goff's out, I'm still going to take the Rams.
Seahawks. I just picked Seahawks win the Super Bowl, so I just got to stick with it.
Last, you taking Washington or are you taking the Bucks?
I think Washington. I'm going to say Washington, but that could change. That could change.
All right, well, that's good. We'll see how we did on that, and then we'll look at it next week. I also want to bring up, did you guys see what Dana White tweeted and what he's talking about? The Conor McGregor card's coming up. And with all these people like pirating all the fights and stuff like that, all these illegal websites that have been around for years. I forgot what famous person tweeted at him saying like something along the lines of, I'll be looking forward to using these pirated sites or something. And Dana said, like, I got something special for you this year, like basically threatening people kind of for using these pirated websites. And before you guys comment on this, I just want to say, like, I love the UFC. I love Dana White. I love watching all these main, big, huge cards. But at the same time, if there's a pirated website or there's somewhere free where I could watch it, I'm going to fucking watch it on one of those websites.
Well, let's get Simon to help us out.
Pirates.
I'm sure we can give him a call.
Did you guys see that, though?
I didn't see that. I mean, you know that I don't follow UFC very closely, but
I didn't see it either.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, what do you guys think about that? You think Dana's going to do anything? Like, have like the people show up at people's doors? Somebody types in put locker?
When it comes to Dana White, I wouldn't be surprised if he does anything he does doesn't catch me as a surprise. From what I hear, he's just a fucking badass and will do anything to make the UFC successful.
It's so hard to contain that stuff, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my buddy was saying. He's like, how are you going to like, what are you going to do? You're going to pick out a couple people and show a lesson or something? Like, I don't know.
But Cappy, I just want to give you an update. It's 1-0 USA. They just scored Turcotte.
Let's go, baby.
World Juniors gold medal game, Canada, USA. I'm sure 75% of our listeners aren't watching it or don't even know that it's happening, because hockey does a terrible job at marketing and they don't have the game on NBC Sports or ESPN. So,
hey, well, before we get into our Oy Vey action, I do want to mention one of our sponsors, our lovely sponsors, Bagel Boss. When thinking about Long Island bagels, there's nothing better than a nice hot toasted bagel from Bagel Boss. They got everything. They got your Bialys. They got your Bialys, their bakery delicacies, kosher foods, anything. They ship all around the country. They're amazing. Follow them on Instagram. Use their website, bagelofthemonth.com. Use our code LATKE, LATKE10, for 10% off. Like I said, they're amazing. Go look them up. Go find them. Bagel Boss.
You want to do Oy Vey's?
I'm a little upset about my Oy Vey this week. So you're out the door, and this isn't the first time this happened. But I don't know. This time it was the most random that even happened. We were just having a conversation about something totally different. Some kid asked me just out of the blue. We were just like, hey, like, oh, what are you having for dinner? And the kid goes, and I do not know this kid. Met him for the first time at dinner. He goes, hey, you wouldn't be happen to be Lebanese, would you? I go,
just randomly.
Just right. Dude, I'm not even kidding. Like, we weren't talking about religions. We weren't talking about anything. And I was like, and I got the beard. And this isn't the first time that somebody's called me, asked me if I was like Lebanese or Arab or something like that, because my beard. And I'm just like, no, buddy. I'm actually Jewish. I'm Jewish. I'm not Lebanese at all. So yeah, pretty crazy story, boys. I know. But
mine's not necessarily an oy vey, but it's something I was thinking about. Why is it that flipping someone off with your middle finger, why is that offensive? Like, why is that like something to come at you and be like, you know what, fuck you, middle finger? Like, if anything, I feel like if you took your shoe off and took your sock off and like waved your toe at someone, you know, that guy's going out of his way to do something to you, right?
I guess. I've never really I mean, how high were you when you thought about this?
I don't get high. I was just thinking about it.
I did just Google like where the thing of the middle finger comes from, because I was like, just, I'm so curious now. So right now it says the earliest known use of using the bird, they call it, in the New World didn't come until 1886, when a pitcher for the Boston Bean Eaters, yes, that's the Boston Bean Eaters, flashed his middle finger in a team photo. Police have arrested a garbage truck operator for flipping off his colleagues in public as well as a woman who showed her middle finger to another driver as well. That's the earliest recollection of how it started.
I thought you were going to go in the direction, because the New York Post with that back cover, like Eagles flip the bird or whatever. I trust the internet.
I don't know. I still think if you take your sock and shoe off and you wave like a toe at me, I think I'm going to start taking that as more of a middle finger than if you just flip me off.
Well, that's something you can start. You can coin that.
You know, what's funny too is like, you don't, like, when do you ever flick people off anymore? Like, the only time I flick people off is like when something, like a bad driver or somebody cuts me off. I'm like, hey, fuck you, you schmuck. Like, fuck you, buddy.
These are the kinds of OABs Maxi has when there's no more fantasy.
But there's still golf.
No golf.
But
wait, Max, I'm curious. I want to share mine, but I don't know if you saw this. I know Cappy didn't, because we talked about it before recording, but have you seen this trending video on Twitter today with the DoorDash driver or Postmates driver from Long Island?
No.
Oh my God. This lady is like, it's like a doorbell camera, and this lady's screaming at this guy because he tipped her $8, and she's claiming that she drove from Comac to Smithtown, and somehow that was a 40-minute drive, and he only tipped her $8. So she picked up the food and brought it back to the store. That's technically theft.
I literally just watched this video right before we started recording this, and it didn't say like Uber driver New York. It just said like angry Uber driver pissed about $8 tip or something.
So yeah, dude, nuts. This woman like is literally being put on blast. Like, she's gonna lose her job. I think that's stealing. If like this guy paid for the food, she literally took it from the doorstep and brought it back in her car and drove it back to the place he ordered from.
Yeah, 100%.
Should I play the clip on the episode? Should I post the clip? It's like a minute and a half. Thing yeah. Of speaking.
Yeah.
So I don't think you realize how far it is.
So but I think you have to pick up if you think it's that far.
They don't let us know how far, so I think you need to adjust your tip to make it right.
How much is the tip?
You gave an $8 tip.
What the hell are you looking for? I gave an $8.
Okay, I'm gonna bring the food back. I'm gonna bring the food back. Okay.
Kidding?
People might think it's optional to like tip when you take an Uber or tip if someone delivers you food. Like, it shouldn't be optional.
Definitely not. But $8 isn't like nothing.
No, it's no. That's a great tip, actually.
Depending on what it was, yeah, I'm sure it's probably like a $20 thing.
That's a great tip.
She was just having a bad day or something like that was going on, but I don't know. Or like, it would have been different if he didn't tip her at all, like you said, Max. Kind of. But I mean, at the end of the day, tipped her. Probably I would have been
just, no, that's not what I was saying. I was just saying in general, people who take Ubers and people who order in food, it's not mandatory to tip someone, but like it should be.
Yeah.
Like you should tip.
Like, also, can Uber drivers like rate you and like say this guy didn't tip or whatever, and then Ubers wouldn't even like pick you up if you have a bad rating?
No. Can you?
I don't know. Sebastian Maniscalco does this great clip where he's like, Uber is this weird ass thing where everyone's on like some fake behavior. We're both rating each other.
You know? Oh yeah.
Kind of funny. I don't know if that was true or not, but I don't know. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they get to see how much you tip before or after they give you like your rating.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't even think we mentioned our guest yet. We have Zach Hiller, a sports agent. He represents Dalvin Cook, JK Dobbins, and actually Bob Menery also, but Zach is a very popular agent for the company Loyalty Above All. And since we have an agent on today, we kind of thought we'd try something new and we're going to do a little draft, three picks each of our favorite agents or, you know, TVs and movies, whether they're fictional or real. Well, I guess they're not real if they're TV or movies, but you guys know what I mean. So I'm going to let Cappy start off here. We're going to draft 9 people total. So Cappy, lead us off with the number 1 overall pick.
Yeah, boys, I'm actually pretty excited for this draft. My list is a little diverse. My first overall pick, I'm going to go with Jason from Ballers. He's the sports agent that represents Vernon. So the actor's name is Troy Garrity, but if you haven't seen the show Ballers, he's hilarious. And just the way like he portrays a sports agent, I think is pretty funny. So I'm going to go with that one. What do you guys got? Who's up next?
Interesting number 1 overall pick.
Max. Very, very interesting.
Max, what do you got?
I'm going with Jerry Maguire.
Come on, say it.
For those of you that can't see, Max has been bopping his head for the last 5 minutes, and we were wondering why, but now it all makes sense. My first round pick, 3rd overall, and this is one. I don't know if this counts, so I'm going to let you guys be the judge, but I'm going with Chubbs from Happy Gilmore. He's like kind of a trainer, but he gets happy on the tour.
No.
I think he'd be clarified as an agent.
No shot counting Chubbs.
The coach.
Peterson.
Well, how does Happy get on the tour without Chubbs then? He's an agent.
He's his coach. Chubbs is a legend. He's an icon. That's why he got on the tour.
I don't know. I think if Chubbs is alive, Happy's paying him.
No. He got on the tour because Happy won the tournament to get on the tour.
Oh, that's true. See, that's a bad pick on me. So you guys are winning the draft. I'm not. Cappy, you're up next. Round 2.
No. Snake.
Oh, Snake. I'm going again?
We're allowing Chubbs as a pick.
No, we're not.
No, it's not. It's not.
You got to pick another. You got to pick another 2.
All right. Another 2.
Because Chubbs doesn't count.
Okay, Chubbs doesn't count. So I'll go with another 2. I'm going to go Sidney Wernick, played by John Lovitz in the movie Dickie Roberts. Have you guys seen that?
No,
I've never seen it. Never known it.
Oh, well, all right. Well, that's a great pick. Anyone who's seen Dickie Roberts, great movie. David Spade. It's been on TV a lot recently. Movie from my childhood. And then my next pick, I'll go with a sleeper in Entourage. I don't even know what happened to her. Lizzie Grant. Yeah, whatever happened to her in the show. Like, she just was going to sue Ari, take everything from Vince's, him, and all of a sudden she disappeared.
Yeah, she's the one who took Vince away from Ari, correct?
No, that's Amanda Daniels.
Oh, sorry, that's Amanda Daniels.
Lizzie was the one that, like, Ari sexually harassed.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
The one that Andrew sleeps with, cheats on his wife with. But, like, whatever happened to her, her story just kind of disappeared, I feel like.
Yeah, you're kind of right about that. I don't know, but that is a sleeper. You liked Lizzie that much?
Well, she was just a beast, dude. She didn't take shit from anyone.
That's true. Hey, she did what she had to do to be successful.
Yeah. So those are 2 from me. Now that Chubb doesn't count, fuck, that sucks. Maxie, you're up.
I'm going Arliss Michaels. This was Ballers before Ballers. Instead of The Rock being the main character, it's just a goofy Jewish dude. And the show's hilarious. It's on HBO. So
you've been telling us to watch that for a while. We got to start it or something.
My next one, let me know if you guys think it's legal. I'm going with Danny Trejo, a.k.a. Machete, in Spy Kids.
Spy Kids. Which character is that?
He's their uncle in the first Spy Kids, Danny Trejo. Well, you know exactly who he is.
So you're going with the secret agent.
He's a double agent in the movie.
You're going with a secret agent.
So.
Gotcha. Not a bad pick. Back to you, Max.
No, he's got one more.
Oh, you got one more? This is your last one?
All right. Then I'm finishing up with a little Entourage action, and I'm going Ari Gold, because all you guys have not picked him yet, and I don't know why he's still on the board. That's absolutely insane. So thank you very much. I'll take that 3, baby.
All right. For mine, it's tough. I'm deciding between 2, but I'm going to go Turtle from Entourage.
If Chubbs isn't an agent, then neither is fucking Turtle.
He. What do you mean? He reps Saigon.
Whatever happened to that?
True. He reps Saigon.
For 1 episode?
Well, towards the end.
He did. He actually repped a client. And got money for it at the end of the day. Chubbs Peterson did not rep Happy Gilmore. I like it. I'll allow it.
So my next one probably doesn't count either.
Well, let's hear it.
It's Jay Baruchel's character in Goon. I forgot his name. I gotta look it up. Because doesn't he get Dougie like the tryout with the Highlanders?
Yes, but these guys aren't fucking.
His name's Pat. I'm just trying to think outside of Entourage, so it was tough.
Is Goon with Stifler?
Yeah, Sean William Scott.
That's where the fighting, yeah.
I don't know. I thought I was like really outside the box with my agents, but.
We'll allow it.
I'm the big loser here.
Agents.
Yeah, I'm the big loser. Well, otherwise I would have had Ari Gold, Adam Davies, and Josh Weinstein.
No. That's what I thought it was going to do. But then I tried thinking out of the box, and I thought of, like, think of like special agents, think of like agent movies. Like,
I was too far out of the box, I guess.
The other one was
totally different box.
The other one I was thinking about was P. Diddy from Draft Day when he reps Bo Callahan,
or P. Diddy and Get Him to the Greek.
Yeah, those are both good ones.
Maxie, genius.
Yeah, Maxie, you win. You win this.
Yeah. Can we start the draft over? Because I kind of want to draft P. Diddy in mine now.
Yeah, that was a good one. I didn't even think of that. That was a really good one. But yeah, I guess that wraps up the draft. Do you guys want to send it over to Hiller?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. I really hope you guys enjoy this one. It was phenomenal.
This guy was born and raised in Suffern, New York, and was bar mitzvahed through Rent-A-Rabbi, whatever the fuck that is. He started his own nightlife company at 18 years old and parlayed that into his own sports agency called Loyalty Above All. He represents guys like Dalvin Cook, J.K. Dobbins, Bob Menery, and Ray Emanuel. We're super hyped that he's here with us, taking time out of his busy life as an agent. Welcome to the Locker Room Podcast. Zach Hiller, what up, Zach? How you doing?
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you.
Well, not technically our New Year, but it's still the New Year.
I feel like we're getting you in trouble right now. This is the first time you've had your phone off in like how long? Or like, no, at least on silent.
My phone's not off. It's not on silent either, but it's definitely not my importance right now. It's this conversation, obviously, but
I love it.
I was going to say, I was afraid you might have to get up in the middle of this or something. God knows what your clients need, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That happens a good amount. I've done a couple like podcast interviews, and every single time something comes up, and like, I mean, obviously, depending on what it is, I got to take the call, you know.
Yeah, so. No, I hear you. But speaking of the new year, I mean, 2020 was kind of a successful year for you. Now, I mean, you know, Dalvin had a breakout year, signed a big contract. You're in Forbes 30 Under 30, which congratulations off the bat. That's pretty sick. Can you kind of talk about the whole Forbes thing and how that came to be? Like, did you reach out to them? Did they reach out to you? How does that work?
So I actually, when I was like launching my website for the agency, what differentiates myself, mine, LAA versus like other companies is the way that I'm using my website to allow players to control everything that goes on with their brands, whether selling their memorabilia, their autographs, like video shout outs, and obviously their merchandise, like the hat you're wearing right now. Forbes thought it was really cool, and they asked to do an interview about what was going on with the website. So did a quick interview explaining to them, breaking down the memorabilia business and sports marketing for them. And then a couple weeks later, I got an email just being like, hey, you've been nominated as a potential candidate for Forbes 30 Under 30. Can you fill out this questionnaire just so we can get a little more information about who you are and what you do? And then can you send us like a picture, and then we'll let you know if you get in. And then just on December 1st, it just like pops up online. So it was pretty cool though. And I got more to do. So that's how I look at it.
I mean, I think you have a girlfriend, but if not, how great is the Forbes 30 Under 30 thing for your dating profile?
I do have a girlfriend. So it's a good picture. I'll say that.
I was going to say, how many headshots you go through before you're like, all right, fuck, that's the one.
No. I didn't. Well, it's funny because like in the email, it says like, please email us the picture and like confirm that you submit the questionnaire. And then like it says in like a paragraph, like parentheses, like if you need more time for your headshots or whatever, just please have it in by this date, which was like 2 weeks later. So, cause I guess people actually like set up headshots and stuff like that. But I had my friend's wedding. I happened to just find a picture. I'll go with this.
How much has that really helped your business just being in the Forbes 30 Under 30?
I wouldn't say it helped my business. I think that it actually drove sales to the website, just people kind of seeing the LA brand and then going on the site and be like, oh wow, like they rep Dalvin, like I can get a Dalvin beanie here and like I can get his signature here. So we've gotten a bunch of video shout outs and done a bunch of like autograph signings for like people would send in a picture, or people are now buying stuff because of the website. As far as like getting clients per se, the draft, the way like football works is like college football is going on right now, and like you can't sign a guy until the season's completely over. So like when the bowl season ends is when I'll figure out like if I'm actually signing anybody or whatnot. So we'll see, but
we gotta get you into hockey.
Yeah, I mean hockey. Yeah, I mean I don't know,
it's a crazy market right now though. Crazy market.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about who you know, so it's like, if you know a good football, if you know a good hockey player, and just connect with them. And then I just feel that being an agent, like, the sport doesn't matter, the talent doesn't matter, whether it's like music or anything like that. It's just being somebody that somebody else trusts, you know, like Alvin's really good at football and somebody might be really good at hockey, but they're both just special people that just want somebody that they trust and have their best interest at heart. So it's like, yeah, you can represent anybody, you know?
Yeah, so. No, definitely. And you've been doing like your own, I feel like, entrepreneurial business stuff since you were younger. I know you were doing the nightlife company that I was actually promoting for. Thank you for helping me make money in college. That was huge for me.
No problem. Yeah, and then, you did well.
Thank you. Yeah, I
was, Halloween, you made some good money.
I was good at the Halloween and the SantaCon Facebook groups, but you know, you also got me to LA, which is awesome with Bob. But I just want you to talk about more so like the grind that you went through with the nightlife company, and like, I mean, that kind of, I feel like, was the direction that you're.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in college, I just went to Michigan, big school, and everybody over the summers, like, and obviously Thanksgiving Eve, like we were talking, like on Thanksgiving Eve is like a huge night in the city when I was a freshman. And I went, it was just an absolute disaster. And I was like, all right, I can like make this way better. And then over the summers, everyone has their internships and goes out in the city. And the city is very, very expensive. So I was like, I got to figure out a way to just keep up with everybody around me. And then at the same time, it was just very financially successful in the sense where these clubs, they need people. They're willing to pay a ton of money for you to bring people. I just figured out a creative way to avoid the whole negative connotation as a promoter by using people's birthdays and making them the promoters and just constantly booking birthdays. And it's just a hustle like anything else, you know, just shooting out messages every day and then finding people that are younger than me. And it's just a spread, right? So like Johnny, you have friends, like everybody on here could do it. You know, like, I don't know your people that have birthdays coming up, but if you book the birthday and I'm getting paid $10 per person, if I give you nine, I'm still making a dollar doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? So
I also have a funny story that I don't even know if I told you this because I kind of like just remembered it yesterday, but yeah. I was at one event when I was like 19 that you were promoting and you were like the bouncer, you were outside the door and yeah. I had my fucking fake ID taken from me and I didn't know you at the time. So I was like screaming like, yo, fuck you, man. Like, give my ID back. And then Mark Schwartz, a good friend of ours, Scotty Schwartz, shout out to them. They're like, yo, I know him. That's Taylor. He went to Timberlake. I was like, oh, can you give me his number? Like, that's the only fucking ID I have. Like, I can't.
Please tell me I got it back for you.
You got it back for me, so right, I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's just not get arrested for the whole 19 fake ID party promoting stuff, but
I think you mailed it back to me, which is very nice of you, so thank you.
There you go.
It's only because you said Camp Timber, like, he was like, oh, fuck, I got to do him a favor.
Exactly.
You'll see you all day.
Zach, you mentioned your time at Michigan. You get it fucked up at Rick's a couple nights a week or what?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Rick's a good amount. Rick's was Thursdays. Skeeps was the spot. I had a Skeeps card, obviously. I think I had a Rick's card. I got a Rick's card, too.
Wait, Johnny, you know who Rick's Bar is, right?
No, what's that?
That's Good Sir's, Good Sir's Dad's Bar, Rick's.
Oh, really?
Over in Michigan. Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
One of our good friends we played hockey with, he currently plays at Michigan State, right? Michigan State right now. His dad owns Rick's.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, there's a Rick's there, too, I think. But, yeah, Rick's was a good time. Michigan was a good time. But yeah, I had a Rick's card and a Skeeps card. I don't know. I wonder what's going on with those right now with like COVID and stuff. Or like,
I can only imagine. I mean, colleges in general, it's probably such a shit show. Like, I feel so bad. Just kids can't go out or do nothing.
No, right. I wonder if Skeeps still the spot. That's what I'm wondering too.
Not sure. Honestly, I've been to Rick's a couple times. I've never been to Skeeps.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
We had one of your boys on who's a friend of our show now, Justin Selman. I'm sure you ripped it up with him at Michigan, but
yeah,
he told us about the Jew corner at Skeeps.
Yeah, right. I hung out in the Jew corner a couple times. it's trapped in the back of the Jew corner is definitely a lot of good times over there.
Have you ever seen the movie Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, I've seen it.
So I love the name Loyalty Above All because it, like, when I heard the company name, it reminded me of Jerry Maguire in the beginning when he writes the mission statement and it goes back and it's kind of like, the key to business is personal relationships. And then he said, like, the answer is fewer clients, less money, more attention. Mm-hmm. And by looking at your website, it really seems that you do that. Is that true? Is Jerry Maguire like an accurate depiction of the business?
I mean, it depends on how you want to look at it. Like, I would say it's not an actual depiction of what, like, the life is like. It's obviously a dramatized, glamorized Hollywood version.
Of course.
People only see that. They don't see, like, the running out at any hour or even waiting 2 hours for a meeting to recruit a kid or and then just them not answering your phone. Everyone always sees they only see the Jerry Maguire stuff, but they don't see really what goes into it behind the scenes. But yeah, no, I feel that it's all about that personal relationship, building that bond, that family bond, that brotherly bond, and to obviously represent guys, not just while they're playing football, but for their entire lives. And then from there, you obviously become family, and ultimately they have families, and maybe their families become athletes and entertainers and whatever, and you represent them too. So I do believe in that. I don't like, you see a guy gets cut from a team and then the next day he parts ways with his agent. Like, that's actually this guy's hardest time. And like, you just dip out onto the next guy. It's like, that's not the way that I want to do this type of business. So,
right. Obviously movies really are about like Hollywood, trying to make it like lovey-dovey, fluffy, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's a side to like being an agent that people don't really see, like, the behind the scenes, the nitty gritty, kind of like if one of your clients isn't home, like someone's got to take out the dog and you got to go, yeah, and do that. Do you have any, when you got into the industry, maybe before you started LAA, were there a bunch of stories of like that where you had to do stuff like that?
I mean, that's just every day, you know. It's like I was late for this podcast, a little bit late. I don't like to be late. I'm very punctual. Time is a matter of respect. So like, I don't want you to be late and I don't want to be late, because we're both, I like to be on time. But yeah, the Xfinity box just wasn't working, and the football game on, and it's like, obviously I'm going to run out to Xfinity and go pick up the box. You know, it's just, it is what it is. That's what you do. I mean, that's my responsibilities. Cause I believe that what makes, I guess what separates LAA and like goes back to, I guess, the personal relationship is I'll handle everything that allows you to focus on what you do best, because ultimately you doing that best is what benefits the both of us the most. So I tell my guys, like, for example, just worry about football, worry about playing football, and I'll handle everything else. So yeah, there's tons of stories for days, sleeping on couches, sleeping on floors, sleeping in cars. Like, just, it is what it is. I mean, it's just part of the business, but it's really like just part of the life and building the bond and the relationship with the client. So do what you gotta do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know you expressed that to me when I first went out to LA, and I know there's a story about you. If anyone Googles your name, you see New York Daily News, Zach Hiller gets fucked or whatever it was, the headline. Yeah. But can you talk about that a little bit? Because I know that story and that experience has stuck with you in starting LAA.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not legally allowed to discuss it, so.
Never mind.
I'll just leave it as it is as far as the article and everything, you know. What I'll say is that it never had to come to that, and it did, and I'm in a great place right now, and that all worked out is what I'll say. It definitely worked out in my favor. So, I mean, but that's as much as I'm legally allowed to discuss, I'd say.
Fair enough. So I'll head in this direction instead.
Go.
Maxie mentioned Jerry Maguire, but I want to ask you, do you think the show Ballers is a good show? Because I fucking hate it.
I mean, I watched like the first season, I think, the first season or two. But I mean, it's, you knew that it was going to get viewers. Is it still on? I don't even know if it's still on. Like,
I don't know. I think it ended.
Anybody could have wrote that story. Anybody could have been in it, and people are going to watch because it just depicts something that people are interested in, and you can over Hollywoodize it or whatever. I don't know. It wasn't a bad show. I like The Rock. So
how accurate you think it was depicting?
There's obviously a lot of accuracy to it, and just the way that these guys operate and how some of these business deals go down. And it's actually unfortunate is like the thing for me, like from what I remember watching it. I haven't watched in a while, but like, it's unfortunate that we can laugh at the fact that there's like so many not good people in this industry, and the people that are getting hurt are the good people, which are these athletes that really need guidance and education, and they just get taken advantage of because they don't know any better. And the way that the business is set up is that it's very difficult to get in. So there's not many me's or LAAs that can get through the the gatekeepers of this industry to get to a guy and be like, hey, listen, clearly there's a problem in this industry when 80% of you are represented by 20% of people, but 80% of you go broke, but you haven't heard about any of those 20% ever going broke. So there's something going wrong here, but they're still keeping everybody else out. You get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then we just laugh at it on a TV show because it's entertaining and like people are crashing cars at a strip club and like, yeah, that definitely happens. And like, I don't know. I think there was some baby mama drama and stuff like that. Like, yeah, that's all true. It's just not as funny when you think about it, that it's someone's life.
Yeah.
And then, like, ultimately, from my perspective, it goes back to like you were saying with the personal relationship. It's like there's agents that love to market themselves and put their face everywhere and represent guys while they're in the league. And like a guy takes all these hits and goes through all this physical, like on a daily basis, to not have anything to show for it at the end of their career is just miserable. You get what I'm saying? To me, that's just like what would eats at me and like keeps me up at night to hear about a guy who like makes $100 million and has nothing left. Like, how do you do that? It doesn't make any sense.
Have you heard of anybody specifically? I mean, I know there's been so many stories who have just blown their money after their career.
I mean, Adrian Peterson, that one gets me all the time. $100 million.
Yeah.
But it's really unfortunate because I just don't get it, from, because it goes back to like you were saying, the personal relationships, right? I'm so close with my clients that they become family, that it's not even that I'm just watching over what they do. We're just so, our lives are so interconnected because that's our relationship, that that's not happening under quote unquote my watch. You know, it's like there's not enough time in the day for that possibly to happen without me knowing, because we're so close and we're communicating about everything just from what's going on in your day, what you eat this morning, because we're family. So like the AP, the one, it just gets me. It's like, and it's because he didn't have somebody, I think, that he fully trusted, that was supposed to be taking care of everything for him to allow him to focus on what he does as football. And he had a ton of people that were technically working for him at this giant agency, but none of them really knew him or anything like that. And the little things don't get taken care of, and the little things don't get checked up on, and then the little things turn into a big problem, like going through $100 million. And then it's just
insane.
What's up? Yeah, it's insane.
It's just insane to think about that amount of money just losing, just throwing out the door.
Because you also have to understand that where you're in a house right now, Johnny. You guys are in houses or apartments?
Houses.
Apartment.
You're in an apartment. You're in a house, right, Johnny?
Yeah.
Okay. Your parents probably own that house, or you own that house, right?
Not me.
Okay. That's called an asset. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, he spent $100 million. He should have some assets that if he needed to, you get what I'm saying? Like,
you could sell.
You don't just spend $100 million. Like, it's just, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, it blows my mind. And then it goes back to the fact that there's so many gatekeepers in this industry, that the agency that he went with was not the right agency for him. It was great for somebody that probably had a better support system and might have had more education on finances and business and didn't necessarily need somebody 24/7 educating him while he played football on things that he might have not paid attention to while he was in college, worrying about getting to the football because this was what he needed to get to that next level. So it wasn't the right fit, but he didn't know any better because the school was probably telling him that don't talk to the agents, they're bad people, and they're going to ruin your life. And then now it comes time to make the biggest decision of your life and you don't know anything else, so you just listen to your coach. But that wasn't the right fit for you. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
how important is I guess teaching your clients how to be financially like independent and smart about it?
It's super important. I mean it's just educating them to make smart decisions, and you work very hard for this money and take care of it and protect it. If you don't know something, don't invest in it. Everybody's got the greatest idea ever. If you don't know anything about it, don't invest in it. So if the only thing you know is football right now, then only worry about football. That's, you know, if you don't know anything about escalators and somebody comes with you with the newest escalator and wants X number of dollars, why would you give them money? You don't know anything about that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because also at the same time, now you give this guy money, you don't know anything about escalators. Now you're going to start stressing about it and trying to learn about escalators when you should be learning your playbook so that you get your next contract that allows you to take care of your family and generations of your family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I could only imagine being a 21-year-old going somewhere, looking at something you can definitely afford and being like, no, not going to buy it.
I mean, lease your cars. Why are you going to buy the car? Like, you don't have to buy a $500,000 car because somebody else in your locker room has a $500,000 car, you know, lease it.
So piggybacking off that, Zach, what do you think when Bob's posting on his Instagram story that he's betting like 20K on the fucking Bears or something? Like, that's got to drive you nuts.
I mean, it's not that it drives me nuts. I think that it's, you have to do it within reason, but also it's content, you know, like what Bob does is he's a social media personality. He has to create content that's engaging and entertaining, but that's not necessarily the Bob that I know, you know? So it's like, there's an act to it at the same time. Generally, he's got a great heart. Does he actually bet and like sports? Yeah. Is he as out of control as he makes it out to be? I mean, I don't want people to just unfollow him because like, yeah, but that's what it is, you know, like that's the life that he chose. He's living on Instagram, like the Truman Show, like he says, creating content that's entertaining and engaging for us. And that's great, but he does take steps back and we have conversations about being more financially savvy and setting yourself up to create wealth in the future. And those are the conversations that I remember when I'm watching him post something and I'm just like this. And then I remember that, okay, he's just kind of creating content. Mm-hmm.
When you first got into the industry, mm-hmm, how tough was it to get your real like first client?
I mean, everything's tough. Nothing's easy. It was just about building relationships, just kind of doing the little things. That's what it comes down to. That's how, I mean, Dalvin was my first client, and it was really doing the little things that set me apart from everybody else. Because a lot of these players get it really confused, but they're the boss and they have all the control and all the power. And everybody's calling their phones because everybody needs them. It's not the other way around. Like these guys that are going to be first round, second round draft picks finishing up their bowl games right now, their phones are getting blown up by every single person. Everybody needs them. They don't need anybody. They don't need anybody. A lot of them that come from obviously where Dalvin came from and the background that he came from, the hardest thing that he ever did was get to the point that everybody's calling his phone, you know? Now it's easy. Now it's easy. You just played college football for 3 years. You put out great film. You're getting drafted because of who you are, not because you're agent, not because of anything. Everybody needs you. And guys don't recognize that. And Dalvin obviously did. And he said, this is what I need. And the person that fit what he needed was me. And that's what it was. And then you do right by somebody and word of mouth spreads and that's it.
Does that kind of stuff happen to you also? Because I know you've had a lot of success. Are people hitting you up because they need you? They want you. I mean, I imagine you're trying to grow the LAA team a little bit. And I do want to give a shout out to, you know, one of my friends, Matt Lees, who is a part of your team. But I mean, I'm sure now people are seeing you and recognizing LAA. Are there people hitting you up constantly? Like, yo, I think I can help you, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, I get hit up all the time. If you're saying from like a client perspective or people wanting to work with me, which one?
Honestly, like, both. Like people, I'm sure there's a lot of people who hit you up like, yo, I think I can help you. I can be like an intern or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get emails every single day. And I get direct messages every single day. And I mean, I don't want to send everybody off to just go do this. But what I would say is that if you actually wanted to break into the sports and entertainment world, like, just sending me an email or a message being like, hey, I love sports, I want to work with you. You kind of have to set yourself apart, right? And bring value. Value is everything, right? Bring value. So I had this guy called me and I normally like don't answer, but my girlfriend actually was like, just pick up for some reason. I don't know why she did, but I did. And she said I was really rude, but I wasn't because I still feel the same way. But basically what I told him was you're calling me asking me to teach you and this, that, and that, right? And I don't mean this in the wrong way, but like, why? Like, what's in it for me? You know what I'm saying? Like, why am I doing this? What makes you different? You follow me? Like, no, I'm not saying this in like a con, yeah, what makes you different? Because I'm getting 1,000 these emails. And he really didn't have an answer for me. So I said to him, I was like, if you want to get, not necessarily me, the next agent you reach out to, or even me, why don't you bring something to that agent to show him that you're different? So I said, name a famous football player. And he goes, Odell Beckham. I go, do you know Odell Beckham? He goes, no. I go, okay, but he's famous, right? He goes, yeah. I go, do you think a lot of companies will want to spend money and market him? And he's like, yeah, obviously. I go, so why don't you just call one of these companies, convince them that you do know Odell Beckham, and get them to offer you and Odell $100,000. And then once you have that from that company, go find Odell Beckham's agent and say, yo, I got $100,000 from you. He's probably going to take your call then. You get what I'm saying? And what's the worst that can happen? Yeah. What, you're in the exact same, wait, so now you can't get Odell. You told this company you had Odell. You're in the exact same position you were in. You know what I'm saying? You're still not in the industry. You follow me? So figure it out. go do something that adds value and break yourself in. That's how I look at it. And then as far as like the client side, I get emails all the time, but like I'm a firm believer that billion-dollar corporations, NFL teams, they have tons of people working for them. They have scouting departments that'll find you if you play in Europe, if you're a good football player. So play great football. And I'm not no super agent. There's no super agent out there that gets somebody in the NFL. You have to be great at football and play great football, put out great film, and they're going to find you. Got drafted in the second round last year from Lenoir Ryan. I didn't even know what that was. You know what I'm saying? Like, they found him because he was really, really good at football. Not because of his agent. He was really, really good at football. If he didn't have an agent, he was still getting drafted there. Just like first round picks, some of them don't have agents. They just didn't feel that they wanted somebody, or they didn't find the right person, and they didn't trust the people that did get in touch with them and went without them and still get drafted in the first round and everything. So,
well, that's a great point, because when you get drafted, the way the NFL structure is, it's tiered. So like if you get drafted earlier, you're locked into your contract, but where agents really come into place for that second contract or that third contract.
Correct.
So for that, when you were coming up with the contracts for your clients, sometimes incentives come into play, like if someone rushes for 1,000 yards. However, the one contract that really sticks out to me is Revis's contract with the Buccaneers, because none was guaranteed. How did that really come about, where you guys kind of sat down, were like,
well, the whole point of that was that they gave up a first and second round pick. So if I'm not mistaken, he only played 1 year for $16 million, right? And then they cut him instead of, and then he went to the
Patriots.
So the whole thing was that he was expected to see two seasons, being that they traded a first and second round pick away, and first and second round picks never get cut after 1 year. So they just gave up a ton. But I could be blanking right now, but I'm pretty sure they fired the GM and everything too, and just brought in a new defense. So they cut him, you know, but ultimately he went to the Patriots and won a Super Bowl, got a Super Bowl ring. So that ended up working out. But as far as the rookie contracts, there's no incentives in it. So it's just when you get drafted, you get X and that's it. If you're the 12th overall pick, here's your contract. If you're the 13th overall pick, here's your contract, and so on and so on.
I have an idea for J.K. Dobbins' contract as an incentive.
Show your value here, Max. You can be an LA employee.
So if he rushes for 1,200 yards, rather than him getting money, have it be that, like, the city of Baltimore, beers for free in the city of Baltimore. So
already doing that. Like I spoke to him like yesterday. He was like, dude, so nice here. Like, he loves it, and everyone's so nice to him. And yeah, but also what JK recognizes, and we talk about all the time, and my guys understand this, that play great football and you can have anything you want. And just remember that, and keep playing great football and everything's going to come your way. You get what I'm saying? Like, but a lot of athletes get confused and they start focusing on the wrong things. You have to, everything comes because of how great you play on the football field. That's it. Like, Juju Smith is a perfect example of like worrying about TikTok and then like not focusing on the football field. And then everybody wanted to see him get hit. And like, you know, like, and then at the same time, I'm not going to say this is why his numbers went down, but maybe if he doesn't focus so much attention on TikTok, he's getting a $120 million contract that a wide receiver gets these days, and he's generationally wealthy, instead of let's see what happens in free agency. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm a firm believer in focus on football. And then I also am a firm believer that, like, don't get me wrong, it's great that he wants to grow his brand off the field and his TikTok is popping and has all these followers. But how much of that is attached to the fact that he plays football and then he's relevant in football? 5 years from now, just no longer plays football. Are people going to still be tuned into Juju Smith's TikTok? You know what I'm saying? Like, football players have a very small window to make generational money, and they need to focus on that and playing football. That's my firm belief.
Definitely, definitely. Zach, something I'm super curious about. We had Adam Schefter on, you know, months ago to talk about his side of things with media and how he talks to sources. But you're the other side of that, where I saw Adam Schefter tweet about you, like, "Oh, I heard from Dalvin Cook's agent, Zach Hiller." Blah, blah, blah. So what's that conversation like from your side of it? Like, how are you, you know, finding out all this information to provide Schefter with? Because let's say Schefter tweets something that's false, and then it kind of falls back on you, and you, like, fuck that whole thing up. Not that you have or anything. I'm just speaking off the top of my mind here. But, you know, how much pressure is there on you to, like, if Dalvin says something and you want to alert the media?
I mean, you got to be careful with the media and make sure that you say on the record and off the record and just I'm giving them the right stories at the right time. You know, like, obviously it was a big story over the summer. Some random source, I still don't know who it was, told Schefter that Dalvin was holding out. You know, it was a random source. And he got that information, like, when that was, quote unquote, leaked to him by whoever it was that was at a certain time for a purpose. You get what I'm saying? Like, just knowing how to kind of utilize the media and the platform just to kind of create a narrative. So, but I also try to stay away from media. Like, aside from that Daily News article, like, there's not a single thing on me for the last, like, 3 or 4 years. I just started doing, like, this podcast stuff and, like, the Forbes article and, like, kind of now just doing more marketing, but not about me, about the fact that, like, the industry that I have problems with and that players are not being represented properly and treated properly and being taken advantage of and ending up with nothing. And that just bothers me.
Yeah. And I also wanted to add on that. Are you and Schefter boys now? Cause I know his kids go to Timberlake.
Yeah, no, Adam's my guy. That's my dude. I got a funny Adam Schefter story, but I'd have to ask him if I could tell it.
Maybe off the record after we record.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It has to do with my group chat and everything. Like, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, don't get into it.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Shout out Adam. That's my
great
guy.
Great dude.
Well, Zach, it's time for an installment of the Matzah Ball Minute questions. Something we love to do on the podcast. Yep. I'm just gonna rep out a few quick questions for you.
All right.
If you could rep one person right now, alive, who would it be?
The people I'm already representing.
Oh, come on. Don't give us that bullshit.
If you could represent one NFL athlete who isn't alive anymore, that you love, you know, who would it be? What?
Isn't alive
anymore. Yeah, what kind of question is that? Who isn't alive?
I don't really know who's not alive.
Well, because you didn't answer the first one.
A retired player, like, before I was, like, an agent. Like, before, so that couldn't – if I could I would represent – I mean, to me, I would represent Sean Gilbert, who went third overall. He's Darrell's uncle, and he's, like, my mentor and my – he's, like, my family, but he was the third overall draft pick in 1992. He created the holdout, held out an entire season. He's a brilliant man, and I wish I was back then next to him when he got drafted third overall out of Pitt. And then what was with him when he held out an entire season. Like, literally, he just felt he was worth more than what they were offering. He said, I'm just not playing. And the only guy sat out the entire season. And I truthfully believe that obviously that allowed Darrell to understand how this business works and knew the holdout, because Sean is the only guy who actually sat out an entire year. Like, I guess aside from Le'Veon Bell, but don't even get me started on that. Yeah, Sean Gilbert.
Great answer. Way better than the ones I represent now. That was so corny.
That's textbook right there. I respect it.
It's funny. My next question is Le'Veon Bell or Sean Gilbert? No, I'm just... So, what's your favorite sports memory that you remember as a kid?
Favorite sports memory that I remember as a kid?
2008 Gordon Cup.
Maybe when, I don't know. Maybe when I won Gordon Cup in 2005. That was fun, I guess.
what about, like, professional as a fan?
Nothing's really, like, jumping into my head right now, like, really? At all. Yeah,
are you like a Jets, Giants, what's your loyalty?
None.
No pun intended.
Just exactly. Not just to my guys, you know, like, I root for them just to have a great game and be healthy, and that's it. Like, I don't really rock with any team. If I had to pick between the Giants and Jets, just being a New Yorker, I'd probably rock with the Jets.
That just got Maxie's penis hard, so.
Me too. although my dad's a big Packer fan, so, like, a little bit of me is, like, God, because Packer run D can't stop a nosebleed.
Right.
For Dalvin's, like, the greatest thing since sliced bread, so Dalvin, like, kills my dad.
Yeah, he's definitely incredible. He's a beast.
Coolest story since you started Loyalty Above All?
Coolest story since you started Loyalty Above All? I don't really know what the definition or the direction you want me to head with cool. But, I mean, it's gotta be Dalvin signing a second contract. You know, it's like, for me, it's about these guys who put in so much to get to that next level and then do everything right. And then to really build generational wealth, like the moment that, like, your life actually changes, getting drafted, don't get me wrong, obviously life-changing money, But that second contract is just another level. And when he signed it and just knowing that, like, he could just go play football and not worry about anything besides playing football, which is, like, the absolute thing that he loves the most in the world, that was, like, the coolest feeling for me.
I mean, when you were 18 doing this party promoting stuff, could you ever imagine? I mean, I was with you and Matt in Ice Cube Studio. Like, that's kind of sick, you know? Like, yeah, I'm sure you're around all these really cool people at these cool places. I was kind of hoping you'd have something like that.
Oh, okay. I don't see, but like for me, like I said, like I didn't know what really direction you want to go. Nah, like being at Ice Cube Stadium is cool. Like the Super Bowl parties are cool. Like all that's cool. But for me, like I'm not, and that's not like a textbook answer. Like honestly, mm-hmm. when he signed that contract, like that for me, because that was like me and kind of him sitting there saying like, you know, Zach, your process works. You know, it's like I came out of Florida State. I signed with you. I believed in you just like you believed in me, and I trusted you. And trust me, a lot of people did not believe that we would get, because not a lot of guys get, first off, an extension, right? They didn't have to do the deal. There's another running back for your dad's favorite team. Had a great year last year. Didn't get the contract yet, you know? So I don't know, but I think that what me and Dalvin had built in Minnesota as far as his charity and his logo that's on your head being the face of the franchise and tying him to the city, marketing properly in the city and doing everything correct, allowed us the opportunity to do an extension with the Vikings because they believed in him. So that was really the coolest moment for me because it kind of proves like whatever I'm doing here, like it works, you know? Like yeah. Signing a guy and a guy getting drafted and being at the NFL draft and like being on TV when JK got drafted, like, yeah, cool, great. But, like, no, it's about the fact that in 10 years from now, Dalvin is generationally wealthy because of this next contract. JK, same thing. We have a relationship. He focuses on football. I focus and take care of everything else. When he gets his next contract, that'll be the next coolest moment. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
The other stuff that goes on is fun, but it's not, like, to me, cool. But,
totally. Yeah, totally.
No, that makes sense. And speaking of your clients, what do you think is the coolest gift you've received so far from one of them?
I mean, Dalvin got me a pretty dope chain. So I guess that would have to be it. That's really it.
What was the chain? What was on it?
It's got his logo on it. It's like all iced out.
Pretty sick.
I don't really wear it, but, and I just like kind of, it's that on his hat, but it's like iced out.
That's sick.
You just save it for Friday night service.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not a big chain guy. Maybe I need some other, if they watch this, I could use some new presents.
You think Dalvin Cook is watching the locker room?
I'll send it to him.
Yeah, well, we'll have to test him on his Jewish knowledge.
No, he does. He knows all about Judaism. My brother is very, very religious. He's Orthodox, and he works with the, I forgot what's, I actually don't know the name of it right now, but it's like a Jewish charity for like disabled kids and.
Oh, nice.
So they were doing a Super Bowl party and Dalvin actually showed up. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that's, you know, tell your brother we obviously appreciate that. That's fucking awesome stuff that he's doing.
Yeah. He was in Israel and then COVID happened. So he came back this way.
Damn.
Yeah.
Zach, last one for you. If you can answer, craziest thing you've seen a player get fined for.
I mean, they can fine you for anything, but.
Maybe that you thought was bullshit. You were like, oh, come on now.
I mean, I think it's ridiculous that you can't show your knees. Like one of the guy's socks fell down and his knees were exposed.
Yeah.
So he got fined.
I saw that with the Patriots. Somebody on the Patriots happened to.
Doesn't make any sense. It's just like, and they just also, it's so hard. Like they just made like Kamara got fined $5,000 for his cleats, like because of red and green. Like, come on. Like, I understand there has to be rules and there needs to be structure, but some things are just.
They just find ways to take money out of these guys' bank accounts. The little things.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the NFL is the best business in the world for the owners. You got to, like, they're billion-dollar companies for a reason. They're all in the top 50 most valuable sports franchises because they're just, it's unbelievable. And then the owners also have all the leverage because in order to get to the NFL, you have to be incredible at football and you have to absolutely love football. That alone, like these guys, because they do play it for free in college, would play for free. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of the guys would play football for, they don't, you know, it's like $500,000, $700,000, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. Like they love football. So they're going to play for whatever. And that's where the owners have all the advantage in the world.
Yeah. I never really thought about that.
Yeah. They play in college for free. So it's like, what changed? And it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's literally the same thing. You got a ton of people that wear your jerseys. You get to do everything you want in a city.
that you need, like you're saying, like free beer if JK gets, yeah. Why do I want that in the contract? Because he's getting that. If he runs for 1,200,
that's fair.
You get what I'm saying? They're going to buy him drinks regardless. So I don't care. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm like,
I meant for like fans. So like if JK Dobbins runs for 1,200 yards, in Baltimore. So then the following that JK gets grows, everyone's cheering like for that. Him. You can get money back in sales, and then he can maybe do an advertising with Bud Light, Coors Light.
I get what you're saying, but it more so would be like just at the beginning of the season, hey, if I rush for 1,200 yards, I'm buying everybody beer for a year. And then you'll have social media screaming for them to run the football more.
Exactly. Yeah. And everyone would be like, let's go, JK. Let's keep running, baby. Feed him.
New marketing.
Nice to hear him. He just welcomed you to LA.
Hey.
So we like to wrap up our interviews with the same question for every guest. Zach, if you can go back and talk to the 15-year-old version of yourself, what kind of advice would you give him?
Be patient and trust your gut. Just listen to your gut. That's it.
I was going to say, before we do let you go, totally skipped over this, but the Rent the Rabbi thing, you got to tell the story because I've never heard of that before.
So I was in Hebrew school when I was like much younger, right? I went one time. I went like the first day when they introduce your name. And then like I had a hockey, like I was playing travel hockey. So like I missed a couple classes. And then I came back. And like my Hebrew teacher knew that like I didn't know anything. I hadn't been in class like 5 days straight. And she's like trying to make me explain the Hebrew alphabet, I guess. And I didn't know anything. So, and she just kept calling on me like purposely to like, so I could finally, was like, listen, I don't know. Like, I don't know what, like by calling on me, I'm not going to miraculously come up with the answers. Like I remember this. So I left that day and I said to my mom, I was like, yo, I'm not going back there. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm just not going. And I just continued playing hockey. And then it was around bar mitzvah time. Mm-hmm. My parents wanted me to be bar mitzvahed. And the idea of a big party sounded great. So there was this rabbi that, like, I guess technically a rabbi. I don't even know.
1-800-RABBI?
Probably. I think you just Google it, Rent a Rabbi.
So funny.
And yeah, I went over to his house. And we'd sit there for like an hour, like three times, I think. Like, and he'd teach me about the Jewish religion. And he came up with my Torah portion for me. He was like, here, this is your Torah portion. It was on like a piece of paper. I just read it and got the sounding of the words right. And then my part, like my ceremony or whatever was in this, it was like a golf course, right? And like the banquet room and the party room. And then we just were in another room and I was up there and just read my Torah portion. It was like 20 minutes. And then it was like, all right, let's go party. And that was it.
That's not legal.
My brother's
in the Jewish community.
No, I'm just kidding.
My brother's was legit. He's like super Orthodox, We're complete opposites, like so opposites.
But yeah, Zach, we want to thank you so much, obviously, for taking the time out of your super busy schedule. You know, obviously, I appreciate you for everything you've done for me, but I know these guys love talking to you. I mean, I won't speak for them, but I'll let you guys say your goodbyes. Or not goodbyes, but
yeah, no, thank you so much, Zach.
You're the man.
Yeah, and if I can help anything with the podcast, just let me know. You know, I told Johnny I rock with it. You know, it's all about being consistent and just keep making episodes and you'll just keep building a following and that's it.
We might be looking for an agent soon, so
I got you
if you want to rep us
100%.
But yeah, thank you again. Happy New Year and best of luck with everything, you know, going forward. I know we'll be in touch, but
100% hit me
later.
A wonderful interview with Zach Hiller. We're so happy he took the time to come join us on the podcast. Just an all-around great guy. It was pretty interesting learning about the agency side of things and just kind of how he really got like his business like started, you know, with the nightclub and everything like that. All in all, we really hope you enjoyed it. It was really great. We loved it. What do you think, Johnny?
I knew Zach was going to crush that interview. I thought he was super entertaining. And I thought anyone listening who might be interested in the behind the scenes and how an agent works, I thought that was super interesting. I mean, I've never personally talked to him about, you know, Dalvin, JK, and those contract scenarios. So I thought that was cool to hear from him. You know, I've been working with Zach for a couple of years when I was promoting in college. It was awesome, like we talked about. And then going to LA to work for Bob, which was awesome. So I'm super thankful for everything that Zach and Matt, someone who works with Zach pretty closely, Matt Least, what they've done for me in the past. But yeah, man, and not for nothing, Zach was a hell of a hockey player back in the day.
Was he?
Really, yeah, he didn't really talk about it much. But when I was younger, I just remember hearing about him being a pretty sick player. I think he played for like the Ram. I don't know if this is right, but I think he played for the Ramapo Saints, if you remember that.
Okay. Yeah, you're right though, Laz. I actually did want to like learn about his like hockey history and stuff like that, but really didn't get into it. Obviously, he went to Michigan, big time hockey school. Wonder if he went to any of the games at Yost. That would be pretty sick. Imagine he went to old Ferris State, Michigan, Cappy, Stone in the. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it was just really great that we got him on. I mean, obviously we had to postpone the interview. You guys don't know, but he had to fly down to Florida for actually Dalvin Cook's father passed away. So the fact that he even took the time out of his day to come to us, it just shows like his whole brand in general, just like how much he cares for his clients. I feel like above other agents. And I mean, I've had agents throughout my career as well. Throughout college, I had financial advisors, obviously not as big as him, but you could tell when people care about you other than more than other people, if that makes sense, more than other agents.
No, that makes complete sense. And like people watch Entourage and Ballers and Jerry Maguire and all these shows, and being an agent looks so glamorous. Like, I mean, every fucking kid who ever watched the show Entourage, oh my God, I want to be Ari Gold when I grow up. Unless they were like, you know, unless they want to be Vinny or E or not, no one wants to be drama. Turtle's kind of a chill guy to be though, but you know what I mean? Like just being an agent seems so cool and so glamorous, but there is a lot of things that are just like the little tedious things that you have to pay attention to that no one really sees, especially in the Hollywood films we watch, but that's what he's willing to do to put the time in to make himself successful. And it's awesome to see how far he has come since, like we talked about the Daily News article, I think that he couldn't really speak about, but you know, he's really become a huge success.
Besides that, we got playoffs this weekend for football. No more fantasy. None of that shit. That's all over. Just the big time now. I know I did my bracket, so I'm pretty excited. I'm enthusiastic. I'm like one of those guys, Laz. Like I need to like either bet or have fantasy involved with it to just make it like that much better. So, you know, I had to get my fixing in with that. So I'm excited. And I hope everyone's excited for that this weekend too.
Yeah, I haven't made a bracket or anything, but I'm sure I'll throw a little teaser in for a couple of the games since I did relapse on betting this past week. But I do want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Mindset Wellness CBD. Like I talked about for the past, you know, whatever or so episodes, I love Mindset Wellness. Actually, at the past New Year's party at Ellie's house, all I was doing was handing out happy gummies to everybody. I was making them take them because I just love them so much. I'm actually upset I couldn't take them tonight because my, you know, my surgery today. But I
it'd be one hell of a bar mitzvah like party gift.
CBD?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
A little.
We'll try to make that happen. We can make a CBD giveaway with Mindset. But I mean, if bar mitzvahs are happening, I don't even know if they're happening right now, but
virtual.
Yeah, no, a virtual CBD giveaway. But I like I said, I love Mindset Wellness. I'm actually wearing my Mindset Wellness hat right now. So
gorgeous.
Shout out to them with the nice merch. There's no CBD in the hats from what I understand. But but yeah, use our code LACA for 10% off of your order plus free shipping, and feel free to check out their Instagram at Mindset Wellness CBD. I can't talk about this company enough. I love them. They're awesome. And you know, they treat us really well, which is great. So go get your Mindset Wellness CBD, code LACA, 10% off.
Love it. Let's do it. Have a great weekend. Listen to the Locker Room. Keep supporting. We love you guys. Thank you.
Another great episode coming next week. Stay tuned. Enjoy, everybody.
Bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter. Yo, cops pulling up like I'm giving drugs. Nah. I'm a pop star, not a doctor. Bitches calling my phone like I'm locked up nonstop. From the plane to the fucking helicopter. Yo, cops pulling up.